want to find out who's on the Drew Marshall Show next week? Sign up for our weekly email updates online at drewmarshall.ca.
Well, Mayor Hazel McCallion was first elected mayor of Mississauga in 1978, folks, and she's now in her 10th term. Count them, 10. And by the time she was elected mayor, Hazel McCallion had sat on almost every committee in the region of Peel and the city of Mississauga. I mean, she's done it all. She really has. In 1991, she became the first mayor of a major municipality to submit the annual operating budget to residents for their input and scrutiny. That's unheard of. Well, in my books, it is anyway. And one of the first mayors to be openly committed to a pay-as-you-go philosophy. Now, I don't have the foggiest idea of what that means, pay-as-you-go philosophy. Mayor McCallion, what does that mean?
Well, that means that, first of all, you do sound financial planning. We don't build anything in Mississauga until we have the money to pay for it. We built a 60,000 civic center, it was paid for. We built a $55 million living arts center, it was paid for. We built a $32 million Hershey center, it's paid for.
Wow.
So, you know, you... if you can't afford it, you shouldn't build it.
You know, I think some churches should probably apply that philosophy.
Yeah, I agree.
What do you think?
Yeah, I think so.
Well, whatever you've done there, the city of Mississauga has not had to borrow money since 1978 and is currently debt-free, so fantastic job. Listen, I went down the list of accolades in my research of you, and there is just too much to mention. I mean, it is amazing the kind of things you've done, but I want to find out who Mayor McCallion really is. So do you mind if we spend a minute with Marshall here for a second? I'm going to just hit you with some real quick questions, some zingers. You ready?
Yep.
Okay. Favorite part of the day?
Morning.
Favorite dessert?
Ice cream.
Favorite hobby?
Gardening and hockey.
Favorite book?
I really don't have a favorite book. I have a lot of books, but
What are you currently reading?
I have no time to read books as mayor. I'll tell you, with all the agendas and with all the reports I have to read, people send me books. I attempted to read the book "The World Is Flat," which is very important because in my role as mayor, it's important to know what that book says. In fact, I was in India last week, and he was the speaker at the NASSCOM conference. The author of "The World Is Flat."
I think I might have to pick up a copy of that book.
Yeah.
Favorite movie? Do you get time to go to the movies?
Well, the Titanic was my favorite movie.
It was quite a good one, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
Favorite meal? If you're on death row, now there's a nice thought. If you're on death row, what would you ask for?
I would say a vegetable dinner.
Vegetable dinner?
Yeah.
Are you a vegetarian?
No.
But
I love vegetables.
Okay. Favorite part of your job, Mayor McCallion?
Favorite part of my job?
Yeah.
Quite honestly, I enjoy my job 100%. Out with people.
Beautiful.
You know, meeting with people and talking to them. Also, on my TV show every 2 weeks, in which people phone up often to say hello and to congratulate me on the job I'm doing, but also reports to me problems that they have, and I just think it's wonderful because that's one way I know whether the city's doing a good job or not. If people are phoning me and telling me, you know, there's speeding on a certain street or there's whatever's going on, a lot of litter in a place, or the traffic lights are not working, that's one way you keep in touch with your people. I love my TV show.
Fantastic. Favorite restaurant?
Oh, no way.
No way.
No way.
Because if you say something, then somebody will get upset.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Don't catch me on that one.
All right. Favorite color?
Favorite color?
Yeah.
Yellow.
Yellow. Favorite part of Canada?
Well, of course, I think the Western, the Rockies is beautiful, but the Gaspé Coast from which I come from is also very beautiful.
Favorite time of the year?
Summer. Spring and summer.
Favorite childhood memory? Do you have any burned-in memories from the childhood?
Well, my, growing up in Port Daniel on the Gaspé Coast, it was a wonderful time of year, time of my life. We didn't have very much. We were very poor because I was really a depression kid. But, I enjoyed the sports. I played hockey on the Gaspé Coast with my two sisters. And winter sports was really great.
All right. All right. Favorite flower, because you're a gardener.
My favorite flower is the rose, yellow roses.
Yellow roses.
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite quote?
A quote my mother gave me, and that is, if you never tell a lie, you never have to remember.
A quote I really like is from Brennan Manning, and actually it reminds me of you. Let me just share this with you. Be who you is, because if you is who you ain't, then you ain't who you is.
Yeah, so true.
Does that work?
Yeah.
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 Favorite song, because you got the radio on in the background. Sounds like the Everly Brothers or something. What is it?
No, I don't know. I just I play CDs all the time because I really love music in the background, whether I'm working on my office work here, meaning, you know, from the city hall, or whether I'm it's hard to hear it when you're vacuuming, but when you're cleaning the house, because I look after my own house.
Yeah.
And I love music. I think music is a very, very satisfying and very enriching the life of a person.
Mayor McCallion, what are the three things you take with you on a desert island?
Well, first of all, I would like to take my Bible, and I would like to take I'd like to take my dog with me.
Okay, what kind of a dog do you have?
A German Shepherd. Her name is Hurricane.
Hurricane. Hurricane Hazel.
Yeah, right. Hurricane is my dog.
Beautiful. And the third thing?
Third thing, of course, I'd love to take my family, needless to say, because I think your family is such a part of your life that people that don't have a family, either brothers and sisters, my brothers and sisters are all gone, but I have three children, a daughter and two boys, and they're very much a part of my life, and it would be pretty lonely on an island without them.
It sure would, yeah. Any nicknames over the years other than Hurricane Hazel?
No, Hurricane Hazel.
That's about, even right from the get-go, you probably had that one, didn't you?
Yeah.
Do you like
in school, in high school in Quebec City, they call me Hazelnut.
Oh, really? Well, that'll work. Oh, man. Do you like to sing in the shower?
No.
No. Are you lefty or righty?
Left. Left in tennis, baseball, hockey, and right in everything else.
Wow.
Right, and everything.
Shoes or sandals?
Shoes.
Coke or Pepsi?
I'll have to say Pepsi because that's the only soft drink we allow in our community facility. So I better say Pepsi.
Boy, you got to remember a lot of this stuff, eh? These are almost like setup questions for you here.
Yeah.
Favorite card game? Do you play cards?
Yeah, bridge.
Yeah, bridge.
I played a lot of bridge when I boarded in Montreal before I was transferred by my company to Toronto.
Yeah, favorite television show?
I don't really have any.
No.
Yeah.
What about cartoons growing up or anything? Or, you know, favorite something from cartoon land?
Oh, no, I can't think of any special one that I think the one that was done of me, I think, was very important when the Archbishop of Canterbury came to Mississauga to meet with all the bishops, and I attended, and I mentioned to him that I thought that he might be discussing the ordination of women, and the next day in the Mississauga News was a cartoon that this tall Archbishop of Canterbury and a little short mayor of Mississauga, and he said to me, what do you think God would think of the ordination of women? I said, I thought she would agree. That's my favorite cartoon.
That's good. Well, thanks for bearing with me on that. Sometimes that really gives a bit of an eye-opener as to the person behind the person. On the phone again, folks, with Mayor Hazel McCallion. Born in Port Daniel, Quebec.
Right.
And back in those days, you said it was, you grew up in a bit of the recession time period.
Yes. Yeah, my dad was in the fish processing business. My mother used to keep tourists in the summertime to try to make some money. And when I think back on what she did, she changed the bedclothes every day and washed them on in a tub and on a washing board in the backyard. I just think about that and think, boy, what an easy life I have compared to what my mom went through.
Would you say your mom was a bit of a role model for you?
Yeah, she was a nurse. She graduated from the Montreal General Hospital in 1901.
Wow. My mother was a nurse, too, and quite a role model for me. And never a lazy moment. I don't think I ever saw her just sort of put her feet up and relax very much.
She looked after tourists in the summertime and over a hot stove in the very hot summer. She did all the cooking. And I'm telling you, I look back on it and say, no matter how hard I work, there's no way I can compare with what my mom did.
No. How did you and Mr. McCallion meet?
In Anglican Young People's Association.
Really?
Yep. I joined the AYPA when my company moved me to Toronto in 1942 to set up an office to build the world's first synthetic rubber plant at Sarnia. And I boarded with a United Church family, the Clarks on Oakwood Avenue, and Mrs. Clark, even though she was United, highly recommended that I join St. Michael All Angels on St. Clair Avenue, the Anglican Church.
Mm-hmm.
I joined there and became a member of the AYPA and then rose to be the first female national president of the Anglican Young People's Association.
Well, Mr. McCallion, was it sort of love at first sight? Did you see each other across the room? I mean, how did it all go down?
Well, you know, I had a number of meetings here, needless to say. We used to get together as a group of churches with Anglican Young People's Association. Most of the churches in the Toronto area at that time did have an AYPA,
mm-hmm.
which was a wonderful organization that brought a lot of young people into the church. And unfortunately, the hierarchy of the Anglican Church, using extremely poor wisdom, eliminated the AYPA. Many priests came out of the AYPA. Priests for the Anglican Church. I don't know why. They made a very bad decision.
Huh.
Right now, there's no organization of young people in the Anglican Church. We had it all across Canada. It was a wonderful organization. I still meet people as I travel, saying they'll come up to me and say, you know, I remember you. You were a national president of the AYPA.
Huh.
I was a member.
How did he propose? Do you remember? Do you take us back to that day? Was it a fancy, you know, schmancy proposal, or was it just, you know, sort of basic?
No, I can't. No, it wasn't a fancy proposal.
No.
I think we worked together in the AYPA. I remember when I was chosen to go to the Second World Conference of Christian Youth in Oslo, Norway, representing the Anglican Church. I needed a camera, so I arranged for him to get a camera for me, which I paid for, and then a few years later he owned it because I married him.
That's not a
bad deal.
No, that's pretty good deal. Well, you were married to Sam for how many years was it?
44.
44 years. And he passed away in, was it 97?
97, yeah.
Sorry for your loss. I know that's a lot of years to lose a life partner.
Yeah.
It's a tough
He's
go.
A very fine gentleman. Well respected in the community. They have so many things named after him. They have the Volunteer of the Year Award. He was chosen as Citizen of the Year. His picture hangs in City Hall.
Hmm.
The Board of Trade recommended him by giving an award for small business, and it's not going to be much left for me.
Yeah, that's right. Well, if you were to describe Mr. McCallion in one word.
A kind gentleman.
Kind gentleman.
A wonderful father and a superb husband.
Hmm. Well, is that...
My success in the public sector has a lot to do with the great support I had from him.
Mayor McCallion, would you say that's been the hardest thing you've had to endure in life?
The
passing of your husband.
Yeah, it was. It was. But fortunately, being mayor and having to get back to work quickly, I can only say to people that if they do lose a loved one, that it really shakes their life, that they should get going doing something.
Mm-hmm.
I had to go back to work. Because there were things that the city had to deal with and sort of, you know, get you going. And, of course, he would want me to, you know, he would not want me to give up.
No, he wouldn't want you sitting around just kind of moaning.
No.
Well, tell us about your three children, Mayor McCallion. What are they up to these days? You've got Peter, Linda, and Paul, right?
Yes. Paul works for Peel Regional Police. Peter is a real estate agent. He's in Thailand right now and Vietnam.
Hmm.
With a friend of his, and my daughter and her husband lives on the farm that Sam and I bought many years ago. We thought we'd retire to a farm.
Where's that?
This side of Guelph, Puslinch Township.
Oh yeah, I know it well.
Yeah,
That's a beautiful.
So she has horses and a few cattle, and her husband works for the construction industry.
Were you tempted to call your kids Peter, Paul, and Mary?
I don't know. I came close to it. Very close.
And how many grandchildren?
One.
Erica.
Erica, yeah. She's 16.
16?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, listen, what I wanted to find out here, Mayor McCallion, is after 19 years with Canadian Kellogg, you left the corporate world for politics in, what, 67?
No, I didn't leave it for politics. I left to retire.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I didn't leave because I wanted to go into politics. I ended up in politics.
Well, how did you go from the corporate world to retirement to politics?
Well, my husband was in the printing business, and he needed help. So we started a newspaper in Streetsville, which ended up to be the Streetsville Booster, and now is the Mississauga Booster, which we sold to the Mississauga News that still publishes it. It was a good newspaper. We would not print any negative news at all. And it was well received by the community. So I helped him in the printing business and helped him with the paper. So I didn't really retire. But then I was chairman of the Streetsville Planning Board, and then a group of citizens suggested that maybe the recommendations of the planning board weren't being recognized by the council of the day, that maybe a few of us should run for council, which we did.
And it took off from there.
Yeah.
It's an incredible journey you've had in the world of politics.
Right.
How do you stay, you don't strike me as a very politically correct person. You know, you're a straight shooter.
Yeah.
Say it like you see it.
Say it as you see it. I think people appreciate your honesty. If somebody phones me and wants the city to do something, then I know there isn't a hope of us doing it. I have to tell them so. I don't say, oh, yeah, I'll look at it. I think you have to be very honest and with your people. I think honesty, integrity is extremely important in politics today. A bit of lack of it.
But rare, that's right.
Yeah.
But would you say you've seen a rise, almost a ludicrous rise, in this political correct insanity?
Yes. I think, I think the people are very, very, are questioning politicians today in a major way.
Mm-hmm.
I think they've lost confidence in our political system to some degree, with promises that are not kept, and if you're going to make a promise, you better do your homework before you make it.
Yeah.
To know whether or not you can have any hope of implementing it. But instead, to get elected, they'll make promises. The only promise I ever made to my people was that our city would plan for people. That if development occurred, we would make sure the services were there to look after the people. And that we would run the city like a business, to the as close to business as we can. And I think it's proven it because we're debt-free. And the buildings we built are all paid for.
Tremendous record. Folks, we're on the phone with Mayor Hazel McCallion. Mayor McCallion, you were president of the Anglican Young People's Association of Canada. Did you grow up in the Anglican Church then?
Yeah, my mom was the organist in the little Anglican Church on the Gaspee Coast, which, by the way, my cousin and I set up a foundation to try to keep the two little Anglican churches, one in Port Daniel and one in Shigawack, which was right next to Port Daniel, to keep them going. We set up a foundation of which the interest goes to the two churches to try to keep them operating. And my mother took me to church every Sunday with her.
Do you remember a time, Mayor McCallion, when it became personal to you as opposed to living off of your parents' spirituality?
No, it became very personal to me, I think, when I joined the AYPA.
Right.
Yeah.
And over your spiritual journey, you'd call yourself a Christian, wouldn't you?
I sure do.
Yeah. And people know this about you. Does it come into conflict as a politician, as a mayor of Mississauga?
No, it does not come into conflict. First of all, I have great respect for all religions. I have all of them in Mississauga. And I attend, when I'm invited to attend their functions, I go. And I think that they're very important to the harmony and peace of a municipality to have people who have a faith, even though it may not be my faith, a Christian faith. but they do have a faith and I in their respective religion, and I think personally the faith and whatever their religion is important, and to have a facility. So I encourage them to build their facilities here. And at the same time, they know very well that I'm a Christian. And of course, I guess that's the whole point of the Christian faith, is that you must accept everybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you don't necessarily have to accept, you know, what they believe is gospel truth, but you need to accept the people, don't you?
You have to accept the people. And I find that people that go to the Sikh temples and the Hindu temples and the mosques are very dedicated people. Yes, there are radicals in all religions, including the Christian religion.
Yeah, we've seen a few of those, haven't we?
Yeah, so, you know, it's, but you, I think Mississauga is a richer city. Because of all the faiths that we have here that have established their own church or their own religious facility.
Hmm. I can only imagine your schedule. I mean, just crazy busy, crazy busy. So what spiritual disciplines have you implemented in your life to make sure that you stay on track?
Well, each morning when I get up, I try to, I don't try. I read. I have a book. I can't remember the name of the book, which has a passage for every day, which is a very practical book, because I think today our Christian faith has got to be very practical. It gets down to the real, you know, if you're going to get up in the morning, as it says, I remember, I think yesterday morning I read, you know, be happy when you wake up,
mm-hmm.
and not look forward to all the challenge you're facing. Have a little piece of time to yourself, and I think that's all very essential as you set forth each day, because it, you know, you do have challenges.
Sure,
no question about it.
One of the most,
and you know, I do get angry at times on matters, and I there's no question about it. But I think Jesus got angry at times too.
Definitely. Oh, definitely. Well, talk about getting angry and frustrated. I remember in Paul Henderson's early days, you know, he had a temper on him, and he is probably one of the most spiritually disciplined guys I know.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, Paul is. I think you know, I can't say I am that disciplined, but I can assure
you neither.
That, I think as you get up in the morning and you read a passage which says to you, you know, settle down, remember that you got to be positive, and I think that's very important. Instead of thinking of all the horrible things that are going to happen to you, you have to be very positive.
Mayor McCallion, has your faith in Jesus sort of waxed or waned over the years? I mean, you've lived life longer than I have, and I look back at my spiritual track record, and I'm embarrassed sometimes. You know, I think, oh, my goodness, you know, I didn't have my act together at all. Not that we ever get our act together, but have you had ups and downs spiritually?
There's moments, I think, at every Christian that believes in, and I guess people that believe in any faith, that you have your weak moments. There's no question about it. And you wonder, you know, why does this happen?
Yeah.
And then you got to sit back and take a look and say, wait a minute. You know, you're prejudging.
Hmm.
So, I don't think at any time that I can say, oh, you're 100% sure that your faith will carry you through. I don't think you can. I think you have to face up to each challenge that comes to you in life, whether it affects your family and etc. That you know you got to prepare for it.
Hmm.
But doesn't matter. Doesn't say that when it happens that you're going to say, oh no, that just doesn't bother me. You know, I don't think you'd be a human if you were able to do that.
No, be real about it.
You got to be real about it. That's
yeah.
right.
Did your Christianity take a bit of a hit when you lost your husband? Did you ever look at God and shake a fist or
no.
get angry? Or
no, I felt that he had had a good life. We had had a wonderful time together, and that he was such a changed man because of Alzheimer's that he wasn't the person he was. No question about it. He
mm-hmm.
changed his whole. He was a very mild man. He never swore. He never got angry. I never saw Sam really get angry. And when Alzheimer's took over, He became a very angry man, a very bitter man, and he used to swear at the nurses at the nursing home. I couldn't believe it.
Wow.
So Alzheimer's is a dreadful, dreadful thing.
That would be so hard for you to watch.
Yeah, it is, because, you know, his whole personality changed 100%.
You know, I was thinking about Don Cherry. I had Grapes on the show, December 24th, actually, Christmas Eve special.
Yeah.
Talking about his faith and of course, losing his wife, Rose.
Yeah, that hit him hard.
Oh, that was a tough knock, you know? When you're in love with someone who it's been so many years, gee, that's a tough knock.
It is, you know, and yet, you know, you have to always realize that they would not want you to sit down and just...
Quit
and say, oh, he's gone, I can't do anything. That would be the last thing that my husband would want me to do. Sam would want me to carry on, you know. I have great respect for Don Cherry, great respect for him. Another great friend that means a lot to me is Oscar Peterson.
Well, I was going to ask you about him. He doesn't go to your church, though, does he?
No, he goes to the Anglican Church, St. Peter's.
Right.
But that man is, I just love him. He is just a wonderful human being. And to be in his presence inspires me.
Well, he showed up at a birthday party of yours.
Yes, he did. Yeah. No, just a wonderful person.
I would like nothing more than to get Oscar on our show, Mr. Peterson. I just think it would be a fantastic time speaking with him.
Well, yes, he's such a genuine individual, you know, for a person who is world famous, really, for his jazz performance. He is so down to earth and so kind and gentle.
Well,
it's hard to believe.
Other than Oscar Peterson, are there any other let's say, are there any other Christians who you would sort of look up to?
I think a person who I felt was Bishop Snell, who was the priest at St. Michael All Angels when I joined the church there, or joined the Anglican Young People's.
Mm-hmm.
He's a great, you know, I look up to him as a great spiritual leader.
Mm.
And, of course, my own priest now, Harold Percy, is just... He's outstanding.
I've heard more good things about that fellow.
He is outstanding.
Yeah.
I think, in my opinion, I think he takes first place, no question about it. He is just such as, you know, when you listen to his sermons on Sunday, call it a sermon, I mean, he just talks to you as if he's so personal. He is outstanding, no question about it.
And yet he suffered quite a personal loss as well recently, hasn't he?
Yeah, which, it's the way it happened, you know, I think had a lot to do with it, that, you know, in which he didn't know about it till 5 o'clock, and it happened at 8 o'clock in the morning. You know, I think the circumstances had a lot to do with
sure,
it.
Sure, sure.
I think that's it, that he couldn't... I believe he did not see her before she passed on.
Right.
Yeah. No.
We're talking about his wife.
Yeah, his wife. Yeah. It was really sad. Very, very sad.
Well, folks, we are on the phone with Mayor Hazel McCallion. And in 2003, Mayor McCallion, you received the Canadian Family Values Award from the Mormons. Even the Mormons like you.
Yeah.
Boy, you're doing well. And in 2004, you became a finalist. Uh-oh. You're in trouble now. Is that her?
I'm going to have to answer the door.
Go ahead. That's fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll be right back.
Sure. No problem. We'll listen to the background. Hurricane is going to tear someone's head off here. Is it polite to listen in?
A very close friend of mine has just arrived, Margaret Marlin, who used to be MPP in Mississauga South, another great Christian who is an Anglican.
Great. Well, in 2004, Mayor McCallion, you became a finalist for this World Mayor Competition.
Yes.
Yep. Some 50 mayors from Africa, the Americas, Asia, and Europe. And then in December 2005, you were the runner-up to the mayor of Athens, Greece.
That's right.
That's kind of a big to-do, isn't it?
Well, it is. It was surprising because, you know, I didn't pay much attention to it because I thought, my gracious, the mayor of Mississauga, I just can't imagine competing with the mayors around the world, from the United States and Europe and Africa and India. I don't know where they all came. But anyway, much to my surprise, I ended up second.
That, and in 2005, this one I don't understand, Julie. You'll have to explain this to me. Invested as Dame in the Sovereign Order of St. John of Jerusalem, Knights of Malta, the Hereditary Order. What the heck does that mean?
Well, that's a, it's a very old tradition, traditional organization, and it's called the Knights of Malta. And I was installed as a dame.
Kind of like Dame Edna.
Yep, that's right.
Well, you—I think the most prestigious award you've received, of course, is the Order of Canada.
That's right. Yep.
Just this past November.
Right.
How did you? You must have been overwhelmed with that one.
I was, because I, first of all, did not think that a politician in office was allowed to be given the Order of Canada. So it was a complete surprise, because I remember a number of years ago somebody said, you know, we're going to work on you becoming a member of the Order. I said, well, don't bother, because I'm going to be in office for a while. So, but anyway, it did happen.
Tremendous accolades. You're definitely a woman of wisdom, and I just want to ask you some advice for three different groups here, and then we'll let you go and get on to that lunch, okay?
Okay.
What advice would you give to parents of teenagers these days?
Set an example for them. I think I think your children, they may not adhere to it, but I think you got to feel satisfied that at least you set an example for them and gave them guidance. But they may not take it. I was at the choosing of a coach of the year yesterday downtown at the Royal York. And one of the chaps that that plays for the Argos got up and said that he was one of two children. His mother was a single parent. And she encouraged both of them to get involved in sports. The one son, no, he didn't want it. This son did. You know, he plays for the Argos now. But the son that didn't want to get in sports and listen to his mother, he was one of the casualties on the street.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's, well, those are good words.
Set an example.
Set an example. What advice would you give to women?
If you want to get anywhere in either the public or private sector, you have to work extremely hard. There's a book out that says, think like a man, act like a lady, and work like a dog.
I like that a lot.
Yeah.
I like that a lot.
If you want to get anywhere in the public and private sector as women, you have to work like a dog.
It's still an uphill battle for women.
It is, yeah.
What advice would you give Prime Minister Stephen Harper?
Just fulfill your promises and be honest and honest to the people. He ran on accountability and integrity, and he better fulfill it.
Do you think he's the right man for the job at this point in time?
I wouldn't want to comment on that. Thank you very much.
Just stay away from that one. Okay?
No, stay away from that.
All right.
He was elected to be prime minister, so we must recognize that.
Sure.
That's the people's folk.
Yeah.
And now it's up to him to prove that to prove to the people that they made the right decision.
All right. And finally, the church. When you look at church these days, what advice would you give to churches?
Well, I think they've got to change their whole approach to attracting people. The church is a business. In other words, in bringing, and I don't mean in the money part of it. I mean it's a business. And if you want people to come to church, you have to make it attractive for them. And then arrange attractive programs for them to participate in. The church that does it, which is our church in Streetsville, is most successful. And you have to realize that the young people today are looking for if they're going to go to church, they want to be inspired and they want to hear some very common down-to-earth approach to living.
Well, back to that, get real stuff.
Real stuff, again. And the church that follows that, but if they're going to rely on the old traditional practices of the Christian church, they're not going to survive. The churches that have recognized that you have to provide an active and meaningful program, will succeed.
Some tremendous words there, and I've been so looking forward to speaking with you, because in my estimation, any woman that's done what you've done over your lifetime and can still surrender your life to the Creator, to Jesus, and not claim all the accolades for yourself, but to simply say, look, I'm still growing, you know, with my faith. I'm still growing as a woman, and I'm still surrendering my life to Jesus. I have so much respect for you.
Well, thank you very much.
I really do. How can we pray for you? We'll let you go. How can our listeners pray for you? When they think of Mayor Hazel McCallion, what do you want us to pray for you about?
Just to have the courage, to continue to have the courage and the stamina to continue to serve the people, and to set aside the challenges, or to face up to the challenges that are before us, and to remember that I'm very interested in my Hazel's Hope initiative, that to share some of the great blessings we have in this great country of Canada with the children of Tanzania, who are suffering, the orphans, the thousands of orphans I met when I was over there. And the Hazel's Hope initiative is really catching on in Mississauga. I'm just most impressed with the support I've received. We've raised well over $500,000. We've had close to 150 children sponsored in Tanzania. We must share some of our good fortune with others if we want peace in the world.
Very well said. Is your second retirement around the corner?
No.
No.
Not at all.
No.
I don't want to even think of it.
No. Listen, thank you so much for your time, Mayor McCallion. And when you speak with Oscar Peterson, give him our love.
Okay.
I appreciate your time.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Mayor Hazel McCallion on the Drew Marshall Show. Oh, tremendous woman. We'll be right back, folks, asking you a few more questions on the show, and then later the Blind Boys of Alabama. Stay with us.
Like what you've heard? Listen again online at drewmarshall.ca.